Well, it's good to be with you today. It's really good to be with you today. I was in Bethlehem yesterday, then I was in Jerusalem, then I was in Tel Aviv, and now I'm here in London. And have you ever had one of those days, but you have one of those days that lasts for like a month? It's been absolutely crazy. I work as a journalist in Israel, and I had to apply for my visa. So you go through the press office, and the press office recommend you to the visa office. And they've changed the rules now, so I couldn't comply with the rules. So basically, I'm like, that's it. It's over. I'm coming home. And I was like, just deeply shocked and, oh my goodness, that's it. It's finished. I've been here for 17 years, and I know I can't stay there forever, but that's it. I'm coming home. And then I started thinking, well, maybe I can comply with the new rules. So I started working out how we could do this, and I was stressed and everything. And I got a chance to sort of speak to the visa office, and they said, well, we can give you a four-month extension if you want, if you feel that you can comply to the rules. And then I spoke to Cross Rhythms and said, can we do this? And, you know, rather than send money there, can we send it to me and do it that way? And, yeah, we can do that. So I'm like, great, we can do it this way. So now I can comply to the rules. So that was good. Then they needed to give me the letter, and it took them a long time. And I knew that I was coming back to England, and time was knocking on, because I know when I get the paperwork into the visa office, they're going to say, we have to go into an appeal. And I know that they don't reject the press office, but it takes up to 3 weeks. Well, the day that I was leaving was the third week. And I left Israel against my own advice without a visa. So technically, I've extended my visa. So as far as the Israeli government could say, I wasn't illegal, but they could call me illegal. And I know all the tricks sometimes they play when you're going back into a country, because they don't always want you there. So I left without a visa, and I'm praying, I'm getting people to pray for my visa, and it just didn't happen. And, you know, and it's frustrating when things like that happen. Just over a week ago, I went to do an interview with a rabbi. Rabbi Eckstein from the Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, and went into his office, and it took him 30 minutes to answer the first question. So it was quite a long interview, and the whole interview was about 50 minutes long. And it was a great interview, because he talked about how he was pioneering relationship as an Orthodox Jew, pioneering this relationship with Christians, and Orthodox Jews were against him. And even when he wants to give money into certain parts of Israel, some cities will not accept the money because they know it came from Christians. And so I'd done this interview, a great interview on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, I was very spiritual because I went to play football and came back and was on Facebook, and he died. I'm like, he's dead. I just interviewed him yesterday. And I was shocked, and he's very well. Benjamin Netanyahu wrote his little piece about him, and everybody, it was all over Facebook that he'd died. And I'm like, and I even, when I was doing the interview, he's talking about how he's worked with all the government and prime ministers, and I need to get a picture with this guy. So I got a picture with him at the end, and the next day he's dead. And that just shocked me. He had a massive heart attack, 67 years of age, and died. And I just interviewed him yesterday, the day before. So it was a huge shock. And then, of course, I'm still waiting for my visa. And then on top of that, a nice, well-meaning Christian said, I've had a vision of you on an aeroplane, and the plane's on fire. And he prayed with his wife and says, do not get on that plane. And I think he'd been prayed about two or three times and said, don't get on the plane. If that happens to you, what would you do? Would you get on the plane? It's like, what do you do? What do you do with that? Is this from God? Is God giving me a warning? Or is the devil just using a well-meaning Christian? And I know they never done it in any sense of malice or anything like that. But Is it just the devil trying to put a little bit more stress upon me? What do you do? So when I was a little bit apprehensive sitting on the plane, especially because I was sitting right at the very back, and at one point the stewardesses were knocking on the toilet door because no one was answering. And I thought, oh no, there's a terrorist in there and they're preparing, you know? Could it be? Could it have been that word? I should have been on another plane. What do you do? So it's been a very, very, very stressful time. So it really is good to be with you tonight. Just to get away from all the stress. I've been in Israel for nearly a year, and it's the longest. I don't usually stay for a year. But continue to pray for the work, because it is a blessing and it's a joy to be able to work in Israel, where God, I know without a doubt, has called me. I go into the schools and do a lot of schools work. Just recently, when I was going into the schools, I wanted to do the whole book of Genesis. So just go through all the stories of Genesis, because Genesis is a very important book. It's the foundation of our Christian faith, because that answers everything. Why was I created? You know, it tells us all about creation. It's not evolution. We don't come from monkeys or anything like that. It shows that we were created. Why am I a sinner? Well, the book of Genesis explains all that. It talks about Israel. Who does the land belong to? We never got into that because part of the Palestinian issue is you have to be very careful, so we didn't get in with that. But, you know, we were able just to go through and share about the book of Genesis. And that, for me, that was a real blessing, just to be able to lay a foundation in the schools to be able to do that. And it is a foundation for their hearts and for their lives. One of the teachers in the Anglican school in Jerusalem came back to me and said, you know, God speaks to me through your stories. And the kids are just, they're little tiny kids, about 3 years of age, 4 years of age, but we're still able to speak into the lives of the teachers. It's important work that we're doing. It's exciting work. Continue to pray for Sabha. She's the blind lady that I go and visit. I visit her twice a week, and we sit there, and we argue, and we debate, and we disagree, and we agree. She's a Palestinian who believes that God gave the land to the Jews. So that's quite unique, but we still have arguments and debates, because sometimes she's not very happy with Israel, you know, and she's, well, I know your point of view. I know what you're going to say, Paul, you know, so we can talk about things and do stuff like that. So, you know, just pray for her and bless her. In the summertime, we were able to just to do some touch-up in her house, because every year the paint starts coming off the wall, the bits of mold start coming in. So I get the youth, my boys, Elias and Ardal, and they come, and we together as a project, we just paint the house. So some of us sit and chat with Sabha while some of us do painting, then we'll swap around a bit and just have a great morning there at her house and encourage her as well. Just the other day, I had a guy called Mohammed. He's been working with me on the radio a little bit, and he came to me, and it's great to live in a Palestinian area, because you can share about Israel in a sensitive way, but make people think and realize what's going on. And Mohammed was saying that he goes to Bethlehem University, and they're on strike because Bethlehem University has put the price up. They've virtually doubled their price for studying. So I turned around to him and said, you know, Great Britain gives. We gave 30 million to the Palestinians, and then over 5 years this year, we gave another 30 million. And then because Donald Trump cut the aid to the Palestinians, we've given another 7 million to the Palestinians. And what's Mahmoud Abbas doing with it? Well, you know, if you go out and you commit a terrorist act and you kill someone, you'll go to an Israeli prison, but your family will get money, or that person will get money, and they get thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for basically pay to slay, paying to kill people. Yet you as a young lad, why doesn't Mahmoud Abbas give the money to the Palestinian young people so that you can study and make the PA a better place? So sometimes you can still drop things in to make people think, you know, about the situation, about the way they are. I've been working in radio and doing a lot of radio for many years. And we're working with the press office. We get invited to Benjamin Netanyahu's New Year's toast. So we went this year, and they had it in a place called Shalva, which is a charity organization that helps disabled children. So they got this huge, big conference center. They're teaching kids and teaching mothers to bond with their children if they're disabled and things like this. And they started the work because their son was infected with a vaccine, and he ended up severely disabled. and they started to develop help for people who have disabled children. And that's how it started maybe 20, 30 years ago. And now you go to this place, it's a huge center. And it costs a lot of money to run. And we went there with Benjamin Netanyahu's New Year's toast. And then I went back afterwards to do a radio interview just to get the story, because it's a wonderful, wonderful story. And then, of course, I'd done the Fellowship of Christians and Jew with this rabbi who died, just to get his story, you know, that 30 years ago he started this organization. He was fighting with Orthodox Jews. Oh, this is wrong, you can't do this. And then the Messianic community don't really like him doing it. No, we should be doing this. It's not you that should be doing this. We should be doing this. And then you find out, you know, he's raised $1 billion. And he's helping Muslims, Christians, and Jews in the land of Israel, blessing people. So it's exciting. I also went to the Israeli Museum to do a radio interview about the museum, the cradle of Christianity. And this, we just took the curator and we just walked through the museum. First of all, we went to the model of the temple and the model of the old city. I don't know if anyone's ever seen it. I'd never seen it before, so it was my first time. And it's absolutely amazing to see this model of the temple. And then we went through the cradle of Christianity into the Israeli museum. So you can see this ogery, which is a box, and inside were the bones of Caiaphas, the high priest. So just amazing to think you read the story of Caiaphas in the New Testament, and there is the box where his bones have been placed. And of course, you can't say 100%, but they 99% feel this is true. And then there was a nail that had gone through a bone, and that is the only evidence of crucifixion. And I was quite shocked at that. You would think that the Romans must have been crucifying people here, there, and everywhere. But this was only one piece of evidence that they have of crucifixion in Israel. And then they found an inscription with Pontius Pilate. And when we done the interview, it was the only inscription of Pontius Pilate, but then they found just something recently with his name on as well. So just amazing just to get these stories and put them on for radio. And then I interviewed a lady called Jaz Ampafar. She came to Israel, and she was a contestant on The Apprentice. And she was kicked off. She was fired in the first week. And she comes into schools, and she just encourages teachers to be the best that they can be. A wonderful, wonderful interview, because she was just so inspiring and so encouraging. Just to get these things down on radio. And of course, we do things in Arabic now as well. We do an Arabic show called Make a Difference. So I do the interview in English, and then it goes to a translator. He translates it, and then Elias comes in, puts his voice to it. Interviewed a guy called Sari from the Shepherd Society, just about what they're doing in Bethlehem, helping the poor people of Bethlehem. And what's exciting about Sari is one of the school the students from one of the schools that I used to speak at. And now he's working in ministry, and he's looking after a ministry in Bethlehem. It's exciting. And it's exciting to see what God is doing. And God is doing a great work behind the scenes. Sahela, I interviewed her in Jerusalem about cancer care, helping cancer patients. You know, there's things happening, things going on. It's exciting to see. We've got the radio station going. I forgot to say, one of the stressful things as well right at the very beginning is we've actually moved house as well. So within all of these problems I was going through, we had to move house. We've only just moved downstairs, but it's cut the rent by 50%. So it's a great, great saving. But we had to carry things down, and it's not easy. And we prayed about sciatica. I have sciatica in my back as well. And to bring the radio equipment from upstairs downstairs, it was like, if you've seen the TV show The Plank, that's what it was like trying to get it downstairs. But we managed to get it into the house. So the radio's running, but there's one or two problems. Computers need to be reset every week because for some reason they go wrong. So that's some of the things that we've been battling. The tech guy who works at Cross Rhythms Radio here in Stoke-on-Trent, he decided to leave, which means we had no tech guy, and I don't know anything about radio or the technical side, computer sides. So that's been another challenge as well. Jarius is my translator, but he left his work and he went to work for Palestine TV, and he's always busy, and I'm needing translations, and if you don't give me the translation, then this show doesn't go out, and this thing doesn't go out on time, and he kept missing his deadline. So it's been a real, real difficult time just to keep things moving and keep things going. But, you know, God is there in the midst of things. We've recorded some new devotions, written some new devotions as well, and now we're looking for a partner, someone who can join with us and share. But in my view, it's got to be someone who's going to share on the radio, because somebody could take this radio and it could be an absolute disaster, because they could put all their propaganda, they could put all their hatred out and all these things, and we don't want that. We don't want to really particularly get into politics, but we don't want to be full of hate. We don't want to be negative. We want to be at least positive as a radio station right there in Bethlehem as well. One thing I've really enjoyed living in Israel is part of the journalism, because so many people come to Israel. We get so many famous people coming. We've got Eurovision coming in a few weeks' time, so I've applied for my pass to go to do Eurovision. Prince William came. And that was really, really exciting. No member of the royal family has been there in 70 years of Israel's history. And then Prince William came and got the chance to see him at Yad Vashem, took some photographs of him at Yad Vashem. There was, I think, an old gentleman who was saved through kinder transport. So we just stuck a microphone in front of him, got his story, asked him a question as well. And then I'd got all my stuff, and I thought, I got nothing to do today, and I know he's at the Western Wall. So let's go down to the Western Wall. So I had to get up early, queued up. I was next to the guys from CNN. We were near the front. I'm like, "Are you fake news?" Just winding them. And I got on, and I got the perfect spot right in front of the Western Wall when Prince William came down. Just he's signing his paperwork and everything. Just got some great, great pictures there. So it was a real joy to do that. Also, just recently, Angela Merkel came. She is miserable. It was so hard to get a photograph with her with a smile on her face. I did. I think I got about two, but she really is miserable. Then she spoke in German. I said, "Well, what's the point of us being there coming to record if you're going to speak in German?" But she came as well. And then just recently went to the New Year's toast with Benjamin Netanyahu. And I've got to say, Benjamin Netanyahu, I actually believe he's got a really, really good sense of humor. And I've seen him quite a number of times, and I've picked that up from him when you get to see him. And he was extremely positive about the Arab world, because something is changing, because there are so many difficulties in the Arab world. With the growing of ISIS, Arabs need security. So who's best to talk about security than Israel? And Israel is becoming a great tech nation. You know, the technology that they have. You know, the technology in the mobile phones, the biotechnology, the technology for distillation of water, Intel, all these things. And Arab countries want these things. So there's a good relationship starting to blossom and work with the Arab nations. And because there's so much in the tech industry, I really encourage people to go for BDS. Yeah, let's start doing it. Let's start boycotting it with all these things. And then you'll not be able to use anything. That would be great, you know. You know, they won't be able to use anything anymore, because Israel just virtually, they're the ones that invent everything. They do everything. So maybe we should actually be encouraging BDS rather than going against it. But it's good to hear from the Prime Minister that things are encouraging, things are developing. You know, God is doing great things. We've been writing more articles for Cross Rhythms as well. I used to write one article a month. Now they're wanting three articles a month. So we're doing much, much more stuff about Israel there as well, which is really exciting. I have a page on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, Focus on Israel-Radio. And I started to realize that it was growing. And people were starting to leave comments. So I started sharing more and more things. And more people are starting to leave comments and clicking likes and this. So I think last week we had about 28,000 engagements last week on our page. And I think it was 22,000 the week before. So now every night I'm maybe watching the chase, and as soon as the break comes up, okay, start sharing something up, then get back into the chase, and then start sharing something. So just to develop and start sharing, and I'm with other groups who love Israel. Oh, there's a great story. We'll share that. Oh, there's a story. It's maybe not Israel, but we'll share it because we're a news service, and we're starting to see, you know, this growing. It's exciting because people are wanting to know about Israel. Really, really exciting to see. So that's growing. So if you are on Facebook, then go to our page, like our page, Focus on Israel Radio, and you'll be able to get all my, particularly the Israeli interviews that we do, put up on there as well. We also do a weekly news. The press office send us news from the government. So anything that Netanyahu's been doing, everything that Reuven Rivlin's been doing, if they find a piece of archaeology or if some people have been arrested or things like this, I get all the news coming in and it goes onto the Facebook page. But then at the end of the week, we have a review, a look back at the news in Israel, and we make a radio show out of that. And we've been sending it to different radio stations as well. And that's just been a real joy to be able to do that as well. So it's exciting to see what God is doing in Israel, in the work that we're doing. It's stressful at times, but God is good. We've got a few bits and pieces at the back. Some things are just things that I've bought. Other things, we've got some crosses. This is from a young lad. I go to Hope School every week, and there's one young lad there. He lives on site. He lives at the school. So they're trying to get him involved in doing wood. So he showed me some of his wood products. So I said, okay, we'll take a few things when we go to England. So we've got some crosses. He makes them. And then the House of Hope for the blind and mentally ill. They've been getting the children, the mentally ill and the blind children, to make these just little beaded bracelets for your hands as well. So they're at the back as well. They do a great job with them. 2 Kings 21, verse 1 and 2. Second Kings 21, verse 1 and 2. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. I'm not going to read or take from that verse. What I want from that verse is, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. As you read the Old Testament, as you go through the Old Testament, again and again and again, it says, he done evil in the eyes of the Lord. All the time this seems to be happening and going through as you read it. It seems that Israel were good at being bad. You know, they were really good at doing that in the Old Testament when you read it. Constantly turning away from the Lord, constantly going their own way and not listening to God, but just doing their own thing, doing their own desires and not really hearing the voice of God. And I feel today as Christians, we need to be aware of the dangers of routine, that we just start to do routine and just start to do the same things over and over again. I could stand up here with the Holy Spirit and preach a mighty message, but I could actually do it without the Holy Spirit because I've been preaching for many years. I know what to say. I know what to do. I know what the Bible says. You know, I can do it without the Holy Spirit. But why would we want to do it without the Holy Spirit when we have the Holy Spirit with us to help us and lead us? Sometimes you can just get into a routine and just do it for the sake of doing it. You know, you don't feel God, you don't feel anything, but you just get up and do it because you're supposed to do it. You know, we need to be careful about routine and taking God for granted. There is dangers there. And especially when we've been a Christian for many years, you know, because sometimes when you've been a Christian for many years, it gets hard. You know, you've read the Bible so many times, you know the stories, you know, and sometimes you can be in a weird place in your Christian faith, you know. So we have to be careful that we don't slip back into a casual attitude. I think David Pawson said it, sometimes people treat it as God Almighty rather than God Almighty. And we have to be careful that we don't just become, you know, we're just friends with God, and you know, but we remember to actually have respect and awe and honor as well. We need to be careful that we don't get too tired. We need to be stirred. God needs to stir us. Today, God is stirring the church. The challenges that we face as a church are absolutely amazing. We face things that are unbelievable. I was in London today, Westminster, and I got there when the kids were on strike. I don't know whether you've seen anything about it in the news. And it scared me. The kids didn't scare me. The attitude scared me. They were crying out for Jeremy Corbyn, which I think is scary enough as it is. Oh, my goodness. But there were some girls dancing around a car that stopped all the traffic. And another guy, he was virtually going to get arrested because the police came. I've got my right to protest. And then he starts complaining afterwards how the police had guns in his face. And I took pictures of him, and afterwards I thought, I don't remember seeing guns in his face. But he went off thinking that guns were in his face. Oh, it's my right to protest. You know. And then these girls were dancing around and effing this, effing, they were singing a song, effing this, effing that, everything. I'm like, in the middle of a street, my children could be walking past you and this is what you're saying? And if you read the signs, if you see it on the news tonight, try and read some of the signs. The language was absolutely disgusting. That's a public order offence. Why aren't the police dealing with that? You know? And that's the youth that are out there today. And that's what scares me. If that's what they're like today, what are they going to be like, you know? You know, it's scary to think of, you know, when these are people who are going to be voting soon. You know, it really, really is scary to see some of these things that are happening. So as a church, there are big challenges ahead. We see in the Old Testament, Israel done evil in the eyes of the Lord. And what did God do? He sent the Philistines to attack them. They came and attacked them. God lifted his hand of protection off Israel. They were his chosen people, and they were special people, but he lifted his hand of protection off them. Not out of anger, but out of love. Okay, if you don't want me, fine. I'll just stay here. I'll stay in the background. But what I'll do is I'll send the enemy to come to you. And the enemy will start coming. They'll start stealing your grain. And they'll start setting fire to your grain. So you'll start going a little bit hungry now. They'll come in and maybe start raping your wives and your women. And you'll be in distress. Your wives will be in distress. You'll be in distress for your wives. You know, they might come and kidnap a few of your children. I'll just allow them to come in and do this. And then what does Israel do? They start crying out to the Lord. What's God do? God is bringing them back, and he's bringing them and wanting to draw them back so that they cry out and they cry out for a deliverer. And you see that they cry out for a deliverer. God brings them a deliverer. I think of Samson as one of those deliverers. Gideon. There are many people in the Old Testament who were people that God called to be a savior at that particular time. But it was like a circle. Their deliverer would come, they would be rescued, and they'd be worshipping God. But then they would get back into their old ways. They'd done evil in the eyes of the Lord. Then God would send the Philistines to attack them. Then they would cry out again, a deliverer would come. Then they'd go back to their right ways. Then they'd go back to the... And it was like a monotonous circle that went on and on and on. And sometimes we can be like that as well. Exactly the same way, you know. When things start going wrong in life, we need to ask God, God, are you trying to get my attention? When things went bad for Israel, God sent a deliverer. And he would come and break the oppression and free Israel from their bondage they were in. God wanted them to cry out. He wanted them to turn back to him. And he used the deliverer to get their attention. And God uses difficulties to get our attention as well. And I've seen that for me. You know, God, you know, just recently with all the stress, it's God's been trying to speak to me. But am I listening? If I'm wise, I will listen, you know. You know, God wants to get our attention, but are we listening? We need to be listening people. You know, the pressure can bring us to our knees. It may be difficult circumstances, but God is trying to get your attention. You know, with me, with the press office, with the visas and all these things, God is saying something in all of that. You know, why didn't I get the answer, you know? And you start questioning, God, why didn't this come at the time that I thought it was going to come? I know your time is perfect, but why not in the times that I want? You know, now I'm going to go back to Israel in 5 weeks' time and I'm not sure whether I'm going to get in, and that's more stress and hassle, you know. But God wants us to be on our knees and praying, asking God, what are you saying to me? We live in a physical world with a spiritual battle. And there is a spiritual battle times, and we need to remember at that times. And we were talking about the computer tonight. Just recently, a few weeks ago. Tuesday, I go into Jerusalem and I do the schools. So I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I finish early. And when I finish early, I just like to finish and watch a movie on a Tuesday. So that's what I want to do. And then just before it's time for me to finish, the news comes in. Some news comes in. Oh, I'll just blog this out. It will take me a few minutes. And then it's finished. And then I remember, oh, that computer, I can't do it on that computer because there's something stupid with that computer that doesn't work. So I get the other computer and put it on. I put in my password and it won't let me in. How dare my computer tell me that I can't get on? You're my computer. And I couldn't get in. And I, come on. So I had to chat to my friend Ivan on Facebook. Ivan, my computer won't let me in. What do I do? I'll try this and try that. And eventually he fixed it for me. He got it just over Facebook. We managed to do it. And I got in. And then it was just really slow. So it's like takes 10 minutes to change a page. It's like, come on. And then I had another computer. And every time you go, I think it's got a virus on, and I don't do much with it because it's really, really old. So I tried to go on the internet, and every time I clicked on something, it would open up another page because it's got a virus or something on it. And I got like three computers, and they've all got something wrong with it. And it's like, what's going on here? God, help me with this. God, there's a spiritual battle. Lord, we just pray, God, we pray about my computer. And, you know, and I lost my peace. I actually hit the computer at one point. I got really annoyed with it. And I have been known to hit computers because you just... it's just frustrating sometimes. And sometimes we need to remember there is a spiritual battle. So sometimes something out of nowhere, because that ruined my afternoon. You know, I just 5 minutes it should have taken. I think it's about 2 hours of fussing around. And I'm trying to watch the movie and I'm trying to do this. And I can't rest. And I want to rest. You know, I've been up since 6 o'clock in the morning, and there's a battle, and we need to remember there's a battle. You know, do you ever get the message, random error, just to annoy you? That's what it feels like sometimes. God used the Philistines, Israel's enemy, to get their attention. Today as a church, God is sending the enemy to wake us up sometimes, you know? As a church, and I'm not saying this church, but as in general, the church as a whole, we are asleep. We don't know what we believe. We're sending mixed messages out there. And the world seems to have gotten into the church in many, many ways today. You want the boat in the water. You don't want the water in the boat. Today, we live in a generation of stupid. And I fear for today, and you know, if I was back in England, I'd really, really want to stand against some of the stupidity. The philosophies and the ideas that we hear are absolutely crazy. You're a bigot for your Christian views. So we're not going to let you speak, which actually is a definition of bigotry in the first place. You know, they're going, you know, to not let you speak is actually bigotry. It's crazy. But the church needs to stand. And I've been on Facebook, and I, you know, every so often, you know, some of the newspapers put a story out there, and I think this is wrong. Abortion is wrong. How dare you tell a woman what she can and cannot do? How dare you say this? You're the one that's full of hatred, and you stand up for a biblical principle and a biblical view, and you're the one that's been told it's full of hatred, and that's what's happening today. That's what we get. We will be abused today. We will be persecuted today if we want to stand up for being a Christian. The Bible talks about a day when they will call evil good and good evil. And that day has arrived. It's today. It's happening now. But we need to make a stand. And we need to be different. And it will cost us, particularly in this day, because you're not allowed to say certain things today. But we're not of the world. We are living in difficult times. And God is trying to get our attention as the church. And he sent the enemy to our door to teach us. So these are some of the stupid things that I've seen over the last few weeks. You need to ask your baby permission to change his nappy. Have you seen that? I think I've seen that twice, two different people. So they'll just, I'm just going to change your nappy now. Is that okay? How stupid can you get? Someone wants to sue his parents for being born because he didn't ask permission. Have you seen that one?
I've seen
Yeah. How stupid can you get? You know? I haven't written this one down, but I know there was another one. There was a man, I think he's in his 60s, and he wants to be legally definition of being 40. Because so he can get more likes on Tinder or something like that. Which I quite like because it goes against some of the stupid issues, you know. He wants to be legally known as 40-year-old rather than 60. You can't have a guide dog because you're making that dog work and it's abuse. It's true. Gender is in the head. It's not in your physical body. In that case, how can you misgender? Because if it's in the head, you can't. How can you? You know, when you've seen the man dressed up as a woman and you call him a man, how dare you misgender? Well, if it's in the head, how can you recognize it? I've seen men in their 20s dressed in dresses going out for a night out on the town. You know, this may be just in Carlisle, but you know, they're on a stag night and they'll dress up as women with a dress and they're just having a good joke. Well, how do we know that we're not misgenderizing them, you know? You shouldn't use the term he or she anymore. And just recently, if you've been watching the news in America, late-term abortion in New York. So if you're pregnant today and you're going to have the baby tomorrow, you can kill it today. You can take that baby and you can kill it. How awful. This is what's happening today. God has sent the enemy to our door, and we need to cry out. And I haven't even got into Islam or the challenges that we have with Islam, you know, today. We need to cry out today. And I fear for the children that we have, just because this is what they're growing up with. You know, children are going up and they're being taught these things. What are they being taught in school? Some of these things. And we as a church, we also need to cry out for Israel as well, because Israel is in challenges, times, and difficulties. Today, Israel is the same as it was in the Bible. There's many secular people. I actually sat on the plane yesterday, and I was sitting right next to an Orthodox Jew, and he got into a debate with the other person next to him because the other person wasn't religious, and they were talking about how evolution and all these sort of things, and they were having this debate, and I could see the Orthodox Jew, he wasn't quite having it, and he looked to me and asked me if I was religious. I said, I'm Christian. And I didn't really want to get into the debate because I saw it as pointless because the guy wasn't going to listen. But, you know, Israel is secular today. Many, many people in Israel are secular. They don't know God. And the Orthodox have a religion built on rules and regulations, not on a loving Savior. They don't know, you know. Israel has difficult days ahead. We know that. The enemy is all around us. You look in Gaza, what's happening in Gaza, the rockets that are being fired. And while I was there in Israel, one of the days or one of the weekends, I think it was one of the days, there was about, was it 300, 400, 500 rockets came over in that one time. And the press office actually arranged for people to go down to Sderot. So we got this email through. If you would like to go down to Sderot and see Sderot, which is just outside of Gaza, so you have 15 seconds to get into a bomb shelter. So I thought, I want to do this. So I went down there. They put on a bus in Jerusalem and they drove us all the way down to Sderot. They provided food for us and everything. It was all free from the Israeli government. And we went down there and we got to meet different people and they told us our stories. I wrote it into an article. So it's on the Cross Rhythms website, the interviews. So one of the ladies told us about something that had just recently happened to her when there was rocket fire. Now she was trying to care for her children. So we went to a children's park. And there's this like this great big long caterpillar where the kids can play in, but it's actually a bomb shelter. And nearly every single house has a bomb shelter. And the school itself has this like dome over the top of it. And that's the bomb shelter, you know. It's like the school even has to have this like protection of concrete over it to protect it from rockets. So Israel is struggling with that in Gaza. So that's to one side. Then, of course, you've got situation and difficulties in Lebanon. They've just found 6 terror tunnels coming right into Israel. So what is Hezbollah planning for the future? They're planning something. We know they're planning something. Iran are bringing in weapons into there. And then, of course, you start looking at what's happening in Syria. Syria borders Israel. and you see, we know what the Bible tells us in the future that Damascus will be destroyed. Russia will come and invade Israel with a conglomerate of people. So you've got Iran, you've got Turkey, you've got Syria, you've got Russia. And they've never really worked together before. But now where are they working together? They're working together in Syria. And Turkey can't wait for Donald Trump to leave America, to leave Syria. And I think he's making a big mistake. Don't leave. Because Turkey will come in. And we've heard Turkey. Turkey wants to destroy the Christians. Turkey wants to be this big Islamic state again. They want to take on, you know. And it's coming. So Syria, Israel are doing much, much more bombing work and raidings into Syria now than they ever used to do. They're going in all the time. They've got intelligence. They know certain things. So they go in and they blow something up. And that is becoming very, very difficult. It only takes something slightly to go wrong, something slightly to happen. You got Russia wanting to come in. You got all the groups wanting to come in. So Israel is in a very, very difficult situation. They need to cry out to the Lord. The Bible tells us they will cry out one day and they will be saved. But they need to do it now. They need to cry out for their deliverer. And their deliverer is Yeshua, Jesus, the one who will save. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, verse 11 to 16. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of cloud and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. Amazing what God's going to do. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will stretch out the lost and bring back the stray. I will bind up the injuries and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. God is getting ready to do something in Israel. They need to cry out to him. They need to cry out for their deliverer. They need to cry out for their savior. We have a lot of challenges, but we have a big God. God is bigger. Israel has a lot of challenges ahead of us. We know through just some of the prophetic words that are in the Bible for the future. But God is a good God. And today, as a church, we need to pray. We need to pray for ourselves in this nation because there are challenges that we face. But we also need to pray for Israel because there are challenges ahead for the nation of Israel. So let's pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for this day and time together, and we thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. Lord, we pray for our nation, because we see our nation and where it's going and the stupidity that's coming in. And we pray, Lord God, that we wouldn't have a spirit of stupidity, but we would begin to stand again, that we would begin to stand again as a nation of righteousness and holiness. And we pray, God, that we would stand even if we stand alone, Father, for your holiness and your righteousness. And we pray, God, that you just shake the church as well, because the church doesn't know what it believes many times. And we pray for Israel, Father. We pray for those who don't know you. We pray for the secular, Father, that they would find Jesus, Yeshua, as their Messiah, and they would come to know Yeshua and be fulfilled Jews. We pray, Father, for the religious and the Orthodox, that they would read not just their sages and all their own works, but they would read your word, that they would see the Messiah was born in Bethlehem, Micah, in the book of Micah, where it talks about the Messiah being born. They would read the words of the Old Testament and put them in their heart and see, and their eyes would be opened, Father, for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.